And our scripture today is from Mark chapter 5, 35, 43, picking up from where Delna left off. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Thank you, God, for your healing touch. You know, sometimes the things said by people who think they know the Bible just leave me shaking my head. For instance, at a school board meeting once in Oregon, where there was a heated debate about whether to offer classes in Spanish, one man actually stood up and said, "If English was good enough for Jesus Christ, it's good enough for me." Well, first of all, dude, Jesus didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic, because that was the language of the country where he lived, ancient Palestine, not English. There are several instances in the New Testament where a gospel writer used an Aramaic word and then translated it for the readers. And this is one of those instances, and in the future, we'll look at some of those others. Of course, that's not the only outstanding aspect of this gospel account of hope and healing. It's retold in three of the four gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which gives its authenticity credence. There are some small differences, of course. In Matthew's account, when Jairus comes to Jesus, he says his daughter is already dead, but he begs Jesus, "Come and lay your hands on her and she will live." When Jairus encountered Jesus as he came ashore after crossing the Sea of Galilee, he did something unexpected. Jairus was a leader in the synagogue and well respected and dignified, but he shamelessly threw himself at Jesus' feet and begged him to heal his daughter. He subjugated his authority to Jesus's in recognition of Jesus's higher status. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Jairus was even putting his reputation on the line by going to the radical rabbi. His fellow Jews were beginning to get perturbed that Jesus and the members of his synagogue might have frowned on Jairus for going to Jesus. But Jairus loved his little girl. To preserve and prolong her life, he would go anywhere, see anyone, do anything, beg with his face in the dirt if he had to. As we see in Mark, Jairus only said the child was at the point of death. As far as Jairus knew, there was still hope for her healing, and so he sought Jesus. How did he know Jesus could heal? Had he heard stories of other people Jesus had healed? Most likely he had. When he learned Jesus was in town, he knew what he had to do. Jairus made his way through the crowd to make his request for Jesus to bring his healing touch to his daughter. He had Jesus' undivided attention for a while. I wonder if Jesus just strolled along enjoying the day while Jairus, agitated and upset, tried to hurry him along. Jesus might have been weary after the long boat ride. He might have wanted to get a bite to eat and rest a bit on the shore. But when Jairus came to him, he agreed to go back to his house with him right away. That's Jesus for you. But then, right in the middle of everything, right as they were on their way, almost there, "Hold on, darling child, hold on just a little longer," Jesus stopped in his tracks. Perhaps Jairus even bumped right into him because he stopped so abruptly. Jesus started looking around. "Somebody touched me," he said. Jairus was too antsy to care. "Yeah, Jesus, lots of people are touching you right now. What's the big deal? Come on, Jesus, hurry, hurry. We have to get to my daughter. Don't stop now." But Jesus would not be rushed. He wanted to find out who had touched him. He said he had felt power leave him. Somebody had touched him and had been healed of an illness. Jesus wanted to know who it was. Finally, a trembling woman came forward and confessed. She had been bleeding for 12 years, for as long as Jairus' daughter had been alive. And she got the notion in her head that if she just touched the hem of Jesus' robe, she would be healed. And she was. I wonder if Jairus knew who the woman was. It was a small town, so he probably had heard of her. She was unclean because of her ongoing bleeding, so she was not allowed to enter the synagogue to worship with everyone else. Had Jairus put her out? As the leader of the synagogue, that might have been a duty he had to perform, to tell someone they weren't welcome to worship until they were cured of a disease. 12 years ago, just as this woman had been banished, Jairus' own daughter had been born, and on this fateful day, their lives entwined. Jairus was perturbed when Jesus stopped to help the woman. She'd been sick for 12 years. Surely her healing could wait a little longer while Jesus took care of Jairus' daughter. Her need was more urgent to Jairus' thinking. At the very least, Jairus should have been encouraged to see how immediately the healing came in an instant, at a touch. Would it be the same for his daughter? Yeah, if they ever got to her. Jesus just had to stop and talk to this woman. And there was another snag. An unclean woman had touched Jesus. Now that meant he was unclean too, right? That's what the law said, and Jairus, as a synagogue leader, knew the law and what made a person unclean. Now another layer of distress landed on Jairus. If Jesus was unclean, that meant he couldn't come to Jairus' house. Wouldn't he have to isolate himself until the priest gave him the okay to end his quarantine? Now what was going to happen to his little girl if Jesus couldn't come to her? However, Jesus didn't even seem fazed, wasn't even concerned about being unclean. He blessed the woman and sent her on her way, healed and whole. She would be able to attend worship again. Jairus would see her again for sure. Jesus called her daughter, as if to signal to Jairus that even while he was momentarily distracted from his initial mission, he was still aware of Jairus' need, and his daughter was indeed on his mind. Meanwhile, here came some people from Jairus' house to bring the dreaded news. Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Now, how cruel was that to come to the agitated, anxious father in the street and tell him his daughter was dead, to publicize his loss and almost dare him to react in front of everyone? To add to the misery, they deem the situation hopeless. You don't need the teacher anymore. There's nothing he or anyone can do for her now. Let him go on his way. Jesus had healed many people, but at this point in Mark's gospel, he had never raised anyone from the dead. So no one thought it was possible. Therefore, there was no reason for Jesus to come to Jairus' house. Jairus' heart sank, and Jesus knew it. He had felt the power going out of him to heal the woman, and he felt the spirit go out of Jairus. He turned to him and spoke deliberately, "Don't be afraid, only believe." I imagine Jairus' eyes were full of tears. What he had feared most had happened. His daughter was gone. Only believe? Believe what? She was beyond healing, beyond hope. She was dead. What was there left to believe? Jairus didn't believe Jesus could heal her now. Resuscitation, raising the dead, was not something Jairus could imagine, even in his wildest dreams. What could he possibly have to believe in now? He trudged along with Jesus to his house, bracing himself for the sad sight of his lifeless daughter. At the house, they were met by a group of mourners. People often hired professional mourners who wept and wailed and made a big commotion in hopes of getting everyone else weeping and wailing too. They sure got to Jairus' house quick. Having heard the girl was sick, had they been hovering around the door just waiting for her to expire so they could start their shenanigans? Seeing them must have made the truth hit home for Jairus, and maybe a wail started its way out of his throat. But what did Jesus do? He just calmly stepped in the midst of the mourners and made a startling declaration. She's not dead, just asleep. The mourners did an about-face at once. Instead of crying, they started laughing. That shows just how shallow their sorrow was. It was all for show. She's not dead, just asleep. What was this guy going on about? They knew the girl was dead. In the words of the Munchkin coroner and the Wizard of Oz, they asserted she's not only merely dead, she's really most sincerely dead. Hey, they were professionals. They knew the difference between someone who was sleeping and someone who had died. Who was this Jesus guy to tell them their business? And if he was just asleep, why wasn't she waking up with all the hooting and hollering going on? First the crying, now the scornful laughter. Jesus had had enough of them. He put them all out, and not nicely either. He forcefully kicked them out of Jairus' house. You aren't needed anymore. Get you gone. Something marvelous was about to take place. And because of their laughter and scorning, they didn't deserve to see it. Jesus only allowed the girl's parents and his triumvirate from his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, into the house with him. Did he say it again? Don't be afraid, only believe. Did he give the bereaved parents a moment to articulate their deepest wish to have their child back? Did he give them a moment to dare to believe she could be healed of the ultimate disease, death? You think my touch can only heal sickness, and that's good. Believe that, Jesus seems to say. But now, let me show you how much more my touch can do. The words Talitha cum are translated as little girl, get up. But Talitha can also mean little lamb. And isn't it appropriate that the shepherd of our souls referred to that child as a little lamb? He had come to save and restore her soul and bring her back into his loving fold. He took her hand and spoke to her, and she came back to life. She got up and started walking around, and Jesus told her parents to give her something to eat, to do something simple and ordinary to welcome her back. It was indeed as if she'd just taken a brief nap, and now the Talitha was talking and walking. Now the Talitha had come back to them. This is such a sweet miracle story. It could be our story. We've all been like that poor child, dead and seemingly unsavable, seemingly lost forever. Then Jesus came striding in with love and power, and he touched us and called to us, get up, come to me, believe, be healed, live. From out of the depths of death and the sewer of sin, we came back to life and found ourselves face to face with Jesus, whole and healed, ready to walk in newness of life, ready to follow him wherever he went. We had come back to him. We were lost and lonely lambs, and the good shepherd came to us and brought us back to be part of his flock and to live forever in his faithful fold. The words he still speaks to us have become part of our lives, enmeshed in our hearts, comforting and encouraging us. Don't be afraid, only believe. Believe in the one who has the power over sickness and even death. Believe in the one who can heal and even resuscitate. Believe in the one who sees beyond our deadness and brings us back to serve him. Believe in the one who takes the time to hear our stories, hasten our healings, and give us hope and blessings. Believe, only believe. Yes, Jesus, we do. Let us pray. God, you have sent Jesus to us to bring us back to life, to restore our souls, to lift us up from our deathbeds, to walk with him and find eternal life. Because of Jesus, we are not afraid. We believe, we know that death is not the end. We thank you, O God, and give you glory for letting us know that through Christ, even and especially when there is reason to despair, there is always and ever hope. Amen.
Skies is full.